Over the weekend, hundreds of musicians offered special vinyl releases for the 10th annual Record Store Day. And some of those shiny black discs were pressed right here in Northeast Ohio. Let's take a look at how those records are made.
We'll turn our helium on here.
Dave Polster isn't a dentist, and he's not filling balloons. He's a mastering engineer, and he's getting ready to cut a lacquer at Well Made Music in Cleveland. The first step in the record-making process is to cut a lacquer, which is the basis for all the discs which will be pressed. What was once a dying art is now hot again, as vinyl sales have been climbing since 2014, when the format posted its best numbers since 1990. Well Made Music has been busy ever since. Owner Clint Holly explains how engineers in the 1960s learned to maximize the music etched onto disc.
They could make these small little tweaks, and it would make the record sound bigger. It would make it sound a little bit louder, and then people discovered that translated to how the record performed on the radio.
That can involve anything from taming of the high end to rounding off the low end before the lacquer is cut with a helium-cooled white-hot sapphire stylus.
And then we use a disc that is an aluminum disc that's coated with a nitrocellulose compound, and it looks like a nail polish. When the audio is applied to the cutter head, it gives us an analogous or analog recreation of the waveform. So when you put a playback stylus in it on your record player, you hear music.
Before that happens, though, Holly and his team have to ship the lacquers to an electroplating facility, which will spray the shiny disc with silver.
They put that sprayed lacquer in a tank with nickel nuggets in a bath, and the nickel is attracted to that plate. Since all of that nickel went into the grooves, when you pull it off, you have raised surfaces.
It looks like a disc that, instead of having a grooved surface, has a spiral of thousands of stalactites ready to be pressed into soft vinyl. That's the stamper that gets shipped to a pressing plant. One of those plants is in Cleveland. Vince Slusars opened Gotta Groove Records in 2008. Every day, they load labels into their presses along with PVC vinyl pellets that are a special formulation that spreads evenly so adjacent grooves won't kiss, which causes skips. 1 pound of the pellets makes about 3 records.
You're loading the PVC into what's called a hopper. That hopper feeds into an extruder. An extruder basically heats up the vinyl and melts it. But essentially what it looks like is a hockey puck or a biscuit. The labels get put on that. It comes forward in the press, it gets pressed, and then it gets dropped on the stack bin, and you have a record.
Most of the presses that Gotta Groove were bought from a plant that closed in the 2000s. Getting spare parts can be a challenge, and making spare parts with 3D printing isn't feasible yet. But what about bypassing the presses and using 3D printing to make the records themselves?
We're making a record every 40 seconds, roughly. So could you realistically print a 3D record at that kind of resolution at the same cost or less cost in that period of time? Certainly not in today's technology.
Gotta Groove turned out about 1,700 projects last year, mostly for smaller labels or independent artists.
Royal Headache, we've pressed several times. We're fortunate to do Blue Arrow Records in Cleveland, Jonathan Richman, and Bad Luck Jonathan. We don't do very much big label work. You could take that on and it could quickly take over your business. About 10% of what we do is work for like Warner Brothers. So if you've seen a copy of Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits in the last couple of years, we probably pressed that.
After the records are pressed and packaged in sleeves, they're sent out to stores like The Exchange in Kent. Over the weekend for Record Store Day, Logan Boggs was there as both a collector and a cashier.
In my experience, people are looking for like different colored pressings, even like reissues of things they already have. I think for younger people, I don't think they worry about song quality quite as much, because if they have, you know, a Crosley or a lower tiered record player, it's not going to sound fantastic anyway.
For Vince Slusars, it's not just about the sound, but also the experience.
When you invite somebody over to look at your record collection, you're telling them something about yourself personally. When you invite them over to look at your hard drive filled with 100,000 songs, it's not as meaningful.
I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.